Peace, love, and light, everybody. We're back with another episode of Minds Like Minds podcast. I'm your host, RL Malpica, flying solo again. Here to talk what we talk, truth, inner strength, inner growth, self-reflection, free thought, spirituality, you name it. That's what we do here. But it's our 99th episode. It's kind of crazy. 99 episodes of Minds Like Minds. Wow. It's been a hell of a road. I want to thank everybody who has continued to support us on our journey. Because it's really been a documentation of my growth as well as Chef Definition's growth. And we got some announcements that are coming very soon. So just get ready for that. some changes on the Minds Like Minds front, but look, you know, we're doing what we do, and we're sharing light. And today I kind of wanted to share light in the sense of understanding how sports have conditioned us tremendously. Like, you know, I talk about religion a lot, and that being like the original source of just pure conditioning. You know, politics, huge part of conditioning, the medical system, huge part of conditioning, film. Oh my goodness. Predictive programming, huge part of conditioning. I haven't spent too much time talking about sports, but you know, some things have transpired over the weekend that just made me think, you know, man, I need to talk about this. I really need to talk about this because it is a dynamic that needs to be dissected. Layers that need to be peeled back, you know. Last season we did an episode on idol worship and how we worship these players, these athletes and entertainers, and put them on a pedestal. You know, whether it's Messi endorsing Pepsi over Coke or whatever the case may be, LeBron James, you know, pulling the Gatorade or the Powerade, you know, wrapper off the bottle to make sure that he's not seen drinking Powerade. I think it was Powerade or Gatorade. I can't remember, just that idol worship to where people look at these athletes and will literally change their lives based on things that these athletes say or do. And that was kind of what the idol worship was all about. But today I want to talk about sports in general and the conditioning aspects of it. And a few things have happened over this weekend that really pushed me to talk about this. Number one, Arian Foster, ex-NFL player, played for the Houston Texans. I don't know if he has his own podcast or he just does it with these guys. It's called Macro Dosing. I think it's called Macro Dosing. And he admitted that the NFL is rigged. So we're going to touch on that a little bit. But also Micah Parsons, defensive end or outside linebacker. I can't remember. One of the two. Pass rusher. Let's put it that way. Pass rusher for the Dallas Cowboys, is getting blasted on social media because he told the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm sorry, he told somebody, a member on another team, a player on another team in his own division, to go win it for our division. Basically told someone on the Eagles, hey, bring the Super Bowl home so we can celebrate for our division. Because the Eagles and the Cowboys are in the same division. And people are blasting him for that. How could you support the enemy? How could you, you know, act like we're cheering for them? We hate them. How could you do that? And, you know, Michael Parsons, he responded as any individual should, you know, with, what are you talking about? And that's what I want to dive into because, look, I'm guilty. I am guilty of becoming extremely tribal when it comes to sports. It's extremely tribal to a fault. And, you know, I had to learn as a part of my growth process, a part of my awakening, to realize that it's just a fucking game. These are people. These aren't robots. So I'm going to get into both those things. You know, before we get into that, I don't talk a lot about like some of the background stuff that goes on with Minds Like Minds. But, you know, we have the audio podcast that a lot of you listen to, you know, on all streaming platforms. But we also have the video version on AkashaFlix. And AkashaFlix, it's only $7.49 a month. You get access to videos of all Minds Like Minds. You get access to our in-studio show, The Lounge, where we get real deep get into deep discussions on topics that people do not want to talk about, but we talk about it. And also hundreds of other videos. But also, you know, we have a link, you know, in our description of the audio just to support the show. Buy us a coffee. You know, I mean, I don't drink coffee, and I know Chef don't drink coffee, but, you know, it's more metaphorical, you know. For the price of a cup of coffee, help support your truth seekers, your light workers here that are here trying to spread light to the world. And that means a lot to us because we put a lot of work into this, a lot. You know, from where we started to where we are now, this being our 99th episode, plus with what I've done to build Akasha and all the shows and the producing and the directing, and all that, you know, it's, you know, your donations are huge. And those who have donated, thank you so much. And those who have subscribed to AkashaFlix, thank you so much. Because without you guys, we can't do this. And we want to do more. And that's where I'm getting at. We want to do so much more. We want to hold retreats. I want to make more documentaries. Like, big time budgeted documentaries that are going to make change. We've seen what the movie Died Suddenly has done with sharing information that needs to be shared. I want to do similar things. So we can't do that without your support. So if you are listening, support us if you can. We'd really appreciate it. But now let's get to this goodness. I'm trying to pull up a few things just so I can have some reference here, but let me see here. I want to start with Arian Foster. So Arian Foster, you know, admits that the NFL is rigged. Now, look, you know, this is one person out of how many people have been in the NFL. Now, I don't know if they signed some type of NDA, non-disclosure agreement. I don't know if they got some type of something in their contract where they couldn't say anything, but you got one person saying something. You have shit, tens of thousands who have been in the NFL that have never said anything. So, you know, take that for what it is. But I think it's an interesting concept because, like, I think people have to realize it's entertainment at the end of the day. Like, football is entertainment. Basketball is entertainment. And if people are not entertained, then people are going to stop watching. And look, it's obvious that sports in general are a distraction to the ills of the world. Obvious, right? Absolutely obvious. It's obvious that the individuals who build these leagues, who promote these leagues, who get advertising from these leagues and who advertise in these leagues are billionaires. I mean, these are the elite of the elites. So you have to understand that sports goes hand in hand with the entire agenda of everything. Like, it has its place, and it's a big fucking place. I mean, you don't have to look any further than the COVID restrictions and mandates that were put on in each one of these sports. Now, look, like, they tried to toe the line as much as they could. But when you read between the lines, like, they weren't really giving athletes a choice. I mean, we had the Kyrie Irving situation in the NBA, which, look, I'm a huge Kyrie fan. And he's a subject that really represents my growth, because before I had my awakening, Kyrie Irving was my favorite player in basketball. He played for my favorite team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. He won he hit the biggest shot in Cleveland Cavalier history to win a title. And then he said he didn't want to be there anymore. And then he left. And then I didn't like him. I looked for every reason to attack him. Why? Because of everything I'm talking to now, that conditioning to think that, like, this person's a robot. Like, this person doesn't have his own feelings, his own philosophies, his own life. But Kyrie Irving is a light worker in himself. You know, the guy that speaks his mind and tells the media to their face that, look, you guys are taking this so serious. It's just basketball. You know? Decided not to get vaccinated for his own personal philosophies, and has to this day gets shredded over it. Is told that he's not a good teammate. He doesn't care about winning. He doesn't care about basketball. He doesn't put basketball first. Well, he shouldn't put basketball first. He should put his life, his livelihood, and his family first. Yet people are so conditioned to think that sports is life. It's not. The DeMar Hamlin situation, the defensive back for the Buffalo Bills who collapsed on the field, should easily tell you that. Some people still don't grasp the concept. They don't understand it. But back to the point of these billionaires and these elites that actually control these leagues, you'll see it in every aspect of it. You'll see the programming that's put into it. You'll see the, like, for instance, the Black Lives Matter movement. And this isn't, I'm not here to talk about the movement. I'm here to talk about how that was plastered all over the NFL. And to think they truly care about that movement is a joke. There's more systemic racism in the NFL than maybe any other company, any other major corporation in the world. When you have over 70% of your players to be of an ethnic background, yet I think one of your owners is, and I think he's from the Middle East, and you have, what, a few GMs? Statistic, like, numbers don't lie. Like, representation should at least trend in a certain, I mean, should at least be in the ballpark in each level. See, that's where things get clouded. People think that because ethnic individuals have jobs that everything's cool. But those jobs funnel up to, you know, funnel up to the top. And when you start getting closer to the top, from the middle to the top, you see less representation of people that look like me and that look like Chef. Plain and simple. So you have that aspect of it. So, yeah, when you see Black Lives Matter splattered or, you know, plastered all over the field and everywhere, are they really representing that? Or is it to check that box? And then with COVID, the whole situation, basically telling in the NFL, telling teams that if a player does not get vaccinated and there's some type of outbreak and a player that's not vaccinated is involved, then that team's going to have to forfeit. Well, now you got coaches and GMs and the higher ups making personnel decisions based on people's vaccination status. Is that not a conflict of interest of some sorts? You see where we're getting with this? In a roundabout way, the idea of the NFL being rigged is not far-fetched. I mean, look, Alex Jones has talked about it for years. And you say what you want about Alex Jones. He's a very intelligent individual. Regardless if you cut for him or not, that's not the conversation. But he makes some compelling arguments. The referee, I think his name was it Tim Donaghy? I think that was his name, who wrote the book about the NBA and how they were coerced to make certain calls and kind of tailor the result to go one way. He was a whistleblower and he got ostracized. But it only takes a few. And, you know, I'll be honest, like there's a lot of times where I watch the NFL or the NBA, but I'm gonna use the NFL because it's Super Bowl time and everybody's in that, you know, in that mode. There's a lot of times where I watch the NFL and I ask myself, like, it's so fucking scripted. Like, whether it be the referees or whether it be the way the games play out. And then when you start to look at the odds makers, how they know, how they can keep a game within a certain point spread and know that it's going to be there before the game's ever played. Now, look, I understand they do, you know, on the other side, someone would say, well, they do, you know, they have inside information, blah, 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 blah. That's why they're so good at it. They've been doing it for years. I get all that. But I mean, to be on point as much as they are, to where they know they can get it within a few points here or there. You start to add those things up. You have Arian Foster coming out and saying what he said. And then you just have to question yourself. And it's not like Arian Foster's psychotic or, you know, dealing with CTE, at least that we know of, or just out here being outlandish. He's not. Simple conversation. He just spoke, you know, he spoke what he spoke. So you gotta ask yourself those questions. You know, could the NFL be rigged? Could the NFL be rigged? I don't know. I'm being honest here. I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I've watched so much football and seen so many crazy things happen. And look, crazy things happen in sports. I get it. But like certain things that happen that just don't make sense, like logically, where like games and seasons and careers are determined by it, and they all seem to favor a certain narrative, makes you think. You know, I know there's probably some YouTube videos or something of somebody who's compiled all these, you know, situations where you know, rigging was in place. You know what I mean? Some type of compilation. I bet you there is. If you know of one, put it in the comments or send it to me. RLMelpica@mindslikeminds.com. I'd love to see it because I know there is something out there. I know there is. I know somebody's done that. The NBA's always been under scrutiny for that. Always, you know, especially during the Jordan years. Especially with David Stern as the commissioner. I don't think Adam Silver's any better. It's entertainment. Remember that. Like it comes down to money. If they have Milwaukee versus Memphis in the NBA finals, they lose money. Plain and simple. They lose money because those are smaller markets. Now Giannis is a superstar, so he's going to transcend. But and Ja Morant is obviously on his way, you know, ascending at the moment. But that doesn't move the needle for the NBA. They want LA and Boston. They want New York. They want Brooklyn. They want Philly, Miami, in a sense. Golden State, because of, you know, I mean, anything in California. I mean, that's what they want. Now, it doesn't always happen that way. But that doesn't mean that they don't have things in place to give extra oomph to those markets. That's what I'm trying to say. Is it full-fledged 100% WWE? It's going to take a lot to convince me. But are there things put in place to alter outcomes? I 100% believe that. And if you have that, then the entire league, the entire sport is diluted. The whole thing. Now, getting to Michael Parsons in this aspect, because this is what I want to spend the most time on. So, Michael Parsons told Lane Johnson of the Philadelphia Eagles to go win a bowl for our division. And Barstool Sports said that it's the lowest and saddest moment in Cowboys history. Telling another individual who plays for another team to go win it for our division, which is tribal in itself. And we'll break all that down. Now, Michael Parsons responded and said, "You people are sick. You will sit in your own misery because of the lack of accomplishments than to root for others. I have no shame. The league is a brotherhood. I'll never pray down on another man's success, nor be ashamed to say I'm happy for my brother's success." That's what's up, man. Let's get into that. Because I know a majority of you out there probably agree with Barstool Sports. I know I would have a few years ago. I am a Cleveland Browns fan. Born, you know, in Cleveland, lived there for, you know, the first 13 years of my life. Sports was always a big thing for me. It's kind of been embedded in me. It's what I enjoy, right? There's nothing wrong to me. There's nothing wrong with watching sports. There's nothing wrong with appreciating and enjoying the 3D aspects of this world. There's nothing wrong with it. It's when you allow it to dictate or change or alter your life when it becomes a problem. You can enjoy it. You know, just understand what you're doing. Understand the effects of that enjoyment. And it took me a while to realize that because sports was almost everything for me. You know, I was extremely introverted growing up due to the environment that I was in, the household that I was in. A lack of love within the household, a lot of shame within my household, a lack of self-esteem, a lack of confidence, all these different things. And sports was something that I felt like I was a part of, playing and watching, because I could watch something, I could enjoy it, I wouldn't have to worry about judgment or ridicule or shame or any of those things. So it became like they were my family, like the Cleveland Browns were my family. The Cleveland Cavaliers were my family. The Cleveland Indians were my family, or the Guardians now. And within my family, some of the people that were almost bigger than life to me, like my older brother and my uncle and some of my cousins, you know, they were all about sports. So it was like sports was the shit. You know, so I became extremely emotionally invested, and that's the kind of person I am. I get emotionally invested in things. You get all of me, and sports got all of me. So if for instance, Myles Garrett last season, I don't know if he did it this season. He's done it this season with other players, but the one that jumps to my mind, Myles Garrett, defensive end, Cleveland Browns, great player. You know, he's chatting it up and having a good old time with Lamar Jackson on the Baltimore Ravens, you know, that would have drove me nuts years ago. Nuts. But why? Like we sit here and we talk about division in America and how that's all by design, how politicians, you know, cause this divide, and society is like receptive to this divide, to where you're either on one side or the other, to make everything tribal. When that's the same thing that's going on in sports, and the same thing that goes on when we talk in society, when we're talking racism and prejudice. against certain groups. The same thing. It's all tribal. It's all, I'm on this side and you're on that side. I'm Republican, you're Democrat. I'm black, you're white. I'm straight, you're gay. I'm a Browns fan, you're a Steelers fan. I'm a Cowboys fan, you're a Eagles fan. It's the same shit. These are people. Michael Parsons might have known Lane Johnson for years. I don't know if he did. I don't know if he didn't. It doesn't even matter. The point is that, look, there's nothing wrong with competing. Competing is fun. But it's a game. Like when those 60 minutes are over, when that 16 games is over, 17 games, when the season is over, that's it. You're still Michael Parsons, the human being. And Lane Johnson is a human being. So what's wrong with cheering for him to accomplish something that you can't accomplish? But we've been so conditioned to have to pick sides, to have labels, to be divided. And it's just so prevalent in sports. And you see it all over social media, like fucking Twitter. Like, I love Twitter because I get some amazing news on Twitter and it allows me to connect with people to get that information. But as far as like what it's done for division and tribalism is, whew, it's rough. And I'm the first to admit that I was a part of it. And there are certain aspects that I still work on with that I catch myself drifting towards my own thoughts when it comes to that. You know, it's hard for me to cheer for certain people or certain teams. And that's anybody's prerogative, you know, but having that ruin your day, like for instance, when my team would lose, it would ruin my entire day. Like, don't talk to me. I don't even want to talk to anybody. I just want to drown in sorrow. And once I started understanding energy, I realized, how am I going to allow a game to dictate how I feel and dictate the way my day's going to go? And then I start to take it even deeper. Why would I allow that to turn me into somebody, to have me emit a certain energy that nobody else wants to be around? When I started to realize how that affected my family, that's when I started making those changes. Do I love watching sports? I do. Watch every Cleveland Browns game this year. I watch a lot of Cleveland Cavaliers basketball. I'm a huge boxing fan. But I catch myself. I'm not 100% there in all aspects. But I catch myself and make sure that I protect my energy and make sure that sports, a game, is not affecting my emotion. Like, is not affecting my energy to the point where now my day's ruined. Now I'm unapproachable. Now I'm just in a shitty mood all fucking day. Nah, fuck that. You're not going to have that much power over me. And I advise anybody out there, if you feel the same, like if you feel that, if that happens, if you feel it brewing up and building up, take a deep breath, walk away, and just ask yourself this question. I mean, does it really fucking matter? The end of the day. It's your team, you know, your team winning a championship is awesome. It's fun. It's cool, man. It's just like, yeah, let's go. Love this shit. Cool. Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with getting excited. There's nothing wrong with, you know, being upset, but feel it and release and let it go. Don't let it linger. Yeah, if you're watching your team, you want them to win. If they don't win, fuck. But it's okay. It's okay because they're going to play next week or tomorrow or next season. It's okay. And you know what? It's not going to change your life at all. But that's the type of conditioning that these sports have done to people. And it's going to get worse. Now, I'll say this, some of the youth, and I would love to hear from someone maybe, you know, 22 and under, if you listen to this podcast. But at least from my viewpoint, the youth, they're not really connected to teams like I think the older generation is, where that tribalism is really intact, really, you know, embedded and you know, just conditioned in the fibers of our soul. I think a lot of these young, because it's a different era now. Like, it's the video game era, to where you create your own team, where you can, you know, literally create your own player and be in the league. You know, you play NBA 2K, you make your player and you're you get drafted by a team and it is what it is. Or you team up with four other guys and, you know, you play. You know, it's about the playing as opposed to being attached to a specific team or a city or something like that. I don't see that as much now. And I might be wrong. That's why I'm asking. If somebody's 22 and under, I'd love to hear their thoughts. I'd love to hear everybody's thoughts, but particularly that demographic. Because I don't feel it's that way right now. I could be wrong. So if that's the case, I think that'll be good. I think it'll be good in the sense that it's going to make people realize that sports are merely entertainment. And that's really it. It's not life. It's, you know, it's just something to watch and you know, enjoy. Just like a movie, you know? And look, we get caught up in the movies. And sometimes those movies can put us in a certain state of mind or a certain mood. That's why you got to watch what you watch. That's why you need to watch more Akasha flicks, high frequency shit. But in movies, most of the time you let it go. It doesn't linger. You might have a rooting interest in the movie, but it's not something that's, you know, something that you've had a rooting interest for, let's say, 15 years, or your dad had a rooting interest, or your mom had a rooting interest. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cheering for Rocky, you know, and he gets knocked out by Clubber Lang, you know, yeah, that sucks. And Mickey dies, and then you're super sad, and then Rocky saves the day. I shouldn't say save the day, but he ends up, you know, linking back up with Apollo, and they end up beating Clubber Lang, and, you know, you're excited or whatever, and then, you know, that's it. You feel good, you keep it moving. You know, but it doesn't linger like sports do because of that tribal aspect. And that's just a form of conditioning that I think individually we need to break, because there's no movement for it. Like on this podcast and throughout my philosophies, like I break conditioning. I talk about different aspects of society that are constantly conditioning us, that are put into place to dictate the way our lives go. But sports is rarely talked about. You know, like I said, I'm bringing it up now, but I don't spend too much time on it. And society and light workers and philosophers and people out here spreading truth, they don't bring it up too much either. It's almost like it's got to be a personal journey for you. I kind of think, you know, at this moment right now, which is February 2023, that I'm going to start implementing it more because I think it is important. I think there are people out there that look at sports as like their only form of happiness. And I'm not joking here. Like, I listen to a lot of sports radio, and there are people that literally take this shit way too motherfucking seriously. I used to be one of them. So I can, like, it's one of those things, like you can identify something that you've been and that is kind of where I'm at with it, you know. It's And it's just something I think needs to be talked about more. And, you know, maybe I'll do that. I'd love to hear what you guys think. I mean, do you feel the same way? I'm going to guess most of the people that listen to this podcast aren't too big in sports. I could be wrong, you know. And I've noticed myself as I've grown, my attachment to sports has gotten less and less. Like, there was a time where I couldn't, like, I didn't even want to pause a game. Like, I wanted to see everything live. I was worried about finding out the outcome of one play from somebody else. You know, things like that. And, you know, I still have my moments. But I've made the decision it's not going to dictate my life. And I'm telling you, by listening to sports radio and just seeing other people on social media, like, they take this shit way too seriously. You know, the Kyrie Irving thing was just so eye-opening to me. So eye-opening. And he's so slick with it, y'all. I'm telling you. Like, this dude is, he's one of us. He truly is one of us. Man, I think about, you know, me and Chef, we've always talked about certain people we want to interview and get on the show. And Erykah Badu has always been kind of like the pinnacle. You know, we know when we get Badu on the show, either Minds Like Minds or The Lounge, that, okay, we've arrived. You know, and I know we've arrived on so many different levels. But that's when we know, okay, we've taken the show, you know, to exactly where we envisioned it. And I'm going to throw Kyrie Irving in there too, because to sit and have a discussion with him would be just amazing, because of where his headspace is. It is that, you know, for him to attain such a level, a superstar level in his sport against the grain. I'm talking about, you know, it's different as a musician because you're looked at as different, you know, like people are into that. You know what I mean? Like Andre 3000 and, you know, some of the other conscious rappers and Erykah Badu and people like that. Like that's a part of it. It's a part of creativity. It's about being eccentric, and you can be esoteric and you can be a cult and you can talk about these things, and it's cool. It's like, we just want to hear your music. It makes your music better. You know, like we identify with those things. But in sports, it's not looked at like that. So when Kyrie Irving runs around the TD Garden with Sage, that's a story. And it's a negative story. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about that. And I said this when it happened. If he was running through TD Garden with some holy water and a cross, everyone would have been like, oh, okay, he's just getting ready for the game. Or if they, you know, if he led some real elaborate prayer before the game, oh, that's cool. But with Sage, oh no, that's an issue. That's an issue. And he's not a team guy. But that's how sports conditions us, people. It conditions us so much that we were asking for this guy's head on a platter because of the choice he made with his own body. Think about that. We are so blinded as a society. And I'm not just talking about fans. I'm talking about the announcers. I'm talking about the TV personalities. I'm talking about news people. I'm talking about across the board. I didn't see anybody with any type of credibility. I shouldn't say that. Take that back, not credibility, with any type of sports notoriety come to the defense of Kyrie Irving. None. They either left it alone or they attacked him. Because he thinks different, because he sees things for what they are, because he understands how bullshit of a society we live in. It's part of the conditioning. It's a lot of conditioning. But I just think it's going to have to be a personal journey. Because like I said, it's not going to come from, like, you know, sports radio ain't going to talk about it because that hurts their business. If people weren't so passionate about it, I mean, what's the definition? What is a fan? It's fanatical. They want that. Let's change it from, I'm a sports observer. I'm not a fan. I'm an observer. I observe the games. I enjoy them. And then I move on with my life. Not fanatical. Because it all goes hand in hand. Think about it. You have I'm just going to use America. You know, because shit, if we go overseas and we're talking soccer, that's a whole nother conversation. I'm going to talk America. You have a country full of fanatics. Fanatics are like fiends. They can't get enough. What's the number one sport in America? It's football. It's the NFL. $1 billion business. One of the biggest businesses in the world. And they have one of the biggest customer base, if not the biggest customer base on the planet. More people watch the Super Bowl than watch anything. So they have the biggest customer base in the world. And they're all fiends. Fanatics. So they're going to keep that. They're going to keep that narrative going. They want that. They want you to be a fanatic. Because they can set. Because when somebody's a fiend. We were watching The Wire yesterday. My wife's never seen The Wire, so we started watching The Wire, one of the greatest shows in the history of TV. And, you know, Stringer Bell, who's played by Idris Elba, basically says, look, these are fiends. It doesn't matter how good the product is. They just want it. And when the product is bad, we sell them more. Because they need more to get that fix of what they want. That's the same thing as the NFL, people. Fanatics, fiends, they want more. So when the product gets bad, they want more of it. Because they want that fix. That's why the NFL has become a year-long sport. Because once the Super Bowl's over, then free agency hit. And once free agency hits, then the draft comes. And then once the draft comes, they fucking make a big deal about the schedule release. Like, they have a time slot for the schedule release. That's the fanatics we're talking about. And then mini camp. And then training camp. And then preseason. And then the season. Year-long sport. So so your sports talk radio is not going to talk about it because that's how they get their ratings. Your TV shows aren't going to talk about it because that's how they get their ratings. And the owners aren't going to do anything because they want to make money. It's our billionaires. It's all they give a fuck about. They want to make money. That's why they will jump on, you know, trendy movements like Black Lives Matter or fucking whatever. Like they really care. Or, you know, global warming while they fly around in their jets that emit more pollution than we will in a lifetime. Come on, man. Let's keep it real. So it's going to be up to us to realize that's up to the individual to realize that, look, it's just a fucking game. It's just a game. It ends on February, 12th? And I don't need to worry about it until September, you know, the Sunday after Labor Day. But it doesn't mean I can't watch the draft. It doesn't mean I can't watch those other things, but I'm not going to sit here and get super excited about it every day and listen to the radio every day and do my online searches every day to figure out what's going on and stay, you know, be on the edge of my seat to see what free agent signed next. No, I'm not going to do that. And neither should you. Live your life. You've got passions. You've got dreams. And if you're at a point in your life where that is the only thing you have to look forward to, then it's time to reevaluate the life. Because that's not what it's about. That's what they want you to think it's about, but that's not what it's about. There's so much more to this life. Imagine having such an amazing life that watching sports is just like icing on the cake. That's what we need to strive for as people, as humanitarians. So is the NFL rigged? I don't know if it's rigged, but it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if it was. But I will say that they do put things in place to alter outcomes. Which is, look, everything is a microcosm. Everything is a fractal. Remember that. Everything is a microcosm and everything is a fractal when we're talking about the universe and when we're talking about the systems. Entertainment is a personal choice, but as far as the entertainment industry, it's a system, just like the medical system, just like the religious system, just like the banking system. And it all funnels to the same place. Billionaires own it. They're going to make sure that they're putting things in place to be as profitable as possible and to be as relevant as possible. So they are going to put things in place to alter outcomes. It's no different than the medical system. They've created an entire system that alters outcomes. Because if people really knew the power that they have when it comes to health, then they wouldn't need the medical system as much as they do now. And they don't want that. So they have to put things in place to alter outcomes. Same thing. And as far as being tribal, like I said, evaluate it. Ask yourself, are you tribal? Are you conditioned by sports? Does it affect you in a way that it affects your emotions on a day-to-day basis? That where you're literally spending way too much energy on something that truly is just a game. Reflect on that. And then ask yourself, okay, how can I change that? How can sports just be the icing on the cake for me? I need, you know, your life should be the exciting part. Your life should be the things you look forward to. The sports should be the icing on the cake. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. This is 99, which means the next episode of Minds Like Minds podcast, we will have hit the century mark. 100 episodes. Thank you all. Subscribe to Akasha Flicks. Look, we got Died Suddenly on there, one of the most controversial documentaries to ever be released. Can't find it anywhere, but it's on Akasha Flicks. We got the documentary I just produced and directed with Rosalind Santos, A Healer's Journey. If anybody who's ever dealt with religious trauma, it's a must watch. I have another documentary on there called Behind the Music that talks about an underground rap group that has dealt with so many different aspects of mental health just to be able to do what they love and create music. Not to mention everything else we have on there. Hundreds of video podcasts, videos, educational content. All for $7.49 a month. That's like a grande coffee at Starbucks. And y'all know that drinking coffee ain't good for you. Akasha Flicks is good for you. Peace, love, and light, everybody. Thank you. I am out.